The KM Football Podcast. All the latest reaction and analysis from the KM Sports team. Listen every week and click subscribe on iTunes.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the KM Football Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Fordham, and joining me this week is Craig Tucker and Steve Turvett. How are you both doing this week?
Very well, cheers, Josh, thank you.
Good to be here.
Brilliant. So after what seemed like weeks of all of our teams losing and having a pretty miserable weekends to talk about, we have some wins and some points on the board that we can finally discuss. And I think, first of all, let's talk about Ebbsfleet. They hadn't won in, was it, six games before this weekend, and came away 3-1 victory at Dagenham and Redbridge. A much better performance, Steve?
Certainly a much needed result. The performances had been a real mixed bag during September. Some of the games they played okay and drawn or lost. Others they were pretty abysmal at Wrexham. Some of the form at home hasn't been too good at all, but they just needed a win to kickstart them. And Darren McMahon's spoken a lot about needing to score the first goal, and they've conceded the first goal in all seven games at home. So they're kind of playing with one arm behind their back when you go a goal down early on. This time they made a really good start, got two goals in the first half and never really looked like letting it slip after that. So I think they'll take confidence from the win, and once they were a goal and two up, then they were able to really start playing.
Yeah, I think you mentioned on your match report last week's game that they, in the first 20 minutes of matches, they'd conceded something ridiculous, like, what, five in the last three games. Did they look like a different side once they got in front, and they looked a lot more comfortable rather than sort of going behind like they had done quite a lot previously?
The big difference was they defended their box properly. Too many of the goals they've conceded, particularly at home, have been completely avoidable. Free headers from corners, mistakes, poor back passes, an own goal thrown in there. And again, McMahon's put a lot of stock by having Kenny Clark and Dave Winfield playing together at the back. I think Saturday was only the second time they played together, and that was his first choice pairing last season when they played with a back four, and he's playing with a back three now. And the two of them and Chris Bush, who's been one of their best players so far this season, the three of them looked a lot more solid, heading corners away, just simple stuff really. Positionally they look better, but having scored the first goal and then making it 2-0, it draws the opposition out, and Ebbsfleet are really set up to counter-attack. People like Corey Whiteley, Miles Weston, Sean Shields when he plays, Luke Coulson, a lot of pace in the side, but you're not going to find the space in behind teams. If you give them a goal, they can sit on the lead and try and defend it. So that drew Dagenham out, and they looked dangerous every time they break, really, but defensively a lot more solid.
Yeah, and if ever there was a man you need to step up to the plate when you need a win, Danny Kebwell is that person. Two goals in the game. Sounded like he played a vital role in the match. How good was he at the weekend, just doing what he does and scoring goals?
Well, that's the thing, just doing what he does, but on the back of being dropped for two games. Mm. Some players could and have sulked after being left out, and it's how you respond to being told by the manager, that wasn't good enough, I'm going to leave you on the bench, I'm going to leave you out of the squad. And Keds just goes and trains harder than anybody else, gets in early, works hard, does the right things, comes back into the team, is ready to perform, and finishes his chances. And I think he's an absolute dream for a manager when you've got someone like that who is one of his senior players, one of his big names, was dropped. Imagine that would have hurt him to be left out of the starting 11 for two games. Came back, looked like he'd never been away. A really smart finish at the near post in the first half, and then tucked away a penalty in the second. So, he's such a big asset for them on the pitch, in the changing room, at the training ground. He's just superb.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't see, how he hardly works off the pitch and that impact he does have on the dressing room as well. And last week they brought in a player on loan from Coventry. Is it Reece Alassani? Sounded like he had a cracking game, dropping down from a couple of divisions. Sounded like he had a pretty good debut.
That's an understatement. He was absolutely superb. Man of the match by distance. Really exciting to watch. Terrific ball control. Quick. Was shooting with both feet. Could have scored two or three goals in the first half. low centre of gravity. Dagenham just could not get near him at times. He was taking on four and five players, shielding the ball, holding it high up the pitch, bringing teammates into play. He's going to be an absolute fan's favourite during the 3 months that he's with Fleet. And the fact he got applauded off by the home fans tells you how good he was. Really exciting signing, having played last season at Dulwich Hamlet, helped them get promoted to National League South, earned himself a two-year deal at Coventry, hasn't broken into their team as yet, but a lot of their fans were quite annoyed that he'd been allowed to go out on loan because they like what they've seen of him. And we saw him for 70-odd minutes on Saturday, and he's a class act.
Yeah, sounds like he had an absolute brilliant game. Well, long may it continue. Those 3 months that you say, I'm sure they'll be hoping they can keep him for a bit longer. And Darren McMahon, was he happy after the game? I imagine getting that first win under the belt, he was going to be pretty happy. He'd said before in previous weeks that first there wasn't any positives to take out of some of those games, but then an improved performance sort of last week. But yeah, how was he after the game?
Pretty pleased, obviously, with the win. He said you can't beat the feeling of going into the changing room at 5 o'clock on a Saturday evening and having won the game. As I say, he wasn't completely unhappy with all the performances that had gone before. Some of them were unacceptable, and he made big personnel changes on the back of those, notably the game at Wrexham. But yeah, fairly upbeat, relaxed, obviously pleased with the form of Alassani on his debut and the reaction of Kedwell, who he described as the ultimate professional. He said, you know, you look at him and he doesn't look like a super fit athlete. He's never going to be, you know, walking around with a six-pack and as toned as some of the other players, but he gets around the pitch, does the business for the manager, and he was pleased with the way that they played from front to back, really. And hoping that one win leads to a few more and they can build on this.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of that reaction from Darryl McMahon after that win against Dagenham on Saturday.
Performed really well from the first minute, really. I thought we were excellent and could have been probably the biggest score at half time. And then second half, I thought we were good again. Probably the first 5 or 10 minutes, Dagenham chucked a few balls in the box that I thought we defended well. And then we grew into the second half again and ran out comfortable winners, really. We have been confident. I think the results have not gone our way, but I think, and again, I've said this already, not all of the performances, I'm not saying all of them have been good because they haven't been, but some of them have been very good, and we haven't. The one on Tuesday night for me is not a losing performance, like I said to you after the game. It was a very, very good performance and we just didn't put the ball in the net. I think today we got the first goal, made Dagenham come out and we've shown what a threat we are. With that front to back, the 11 performed really, really well. Looked confident. I think it's important as well that it's the second. What, how many games have played? 14 now? Is it 14 games in?
Yeah.
14 games in. That's the second time we've had Winfield and Clark together, which is a big thing for us as well. I think Ebu's been excellent in that little position. Reese has come in. Bags is another game. I thought he's done well again. Mould Weston was outstanding again. We look forward to next week now. Well, we've gone to Hartlepool, come here, gone to Barnet, a draw at Orient. You know, they're all good sides and we've taken points from all of them. We know we're a good team. I think we just have to, important, the first goal at home is important. I think the start's important. And we know we've got goals in us as well.
Now, I know one thing you did want to mention, Steve, before we talk about next week's game is before the match, Ipswich hadn't won in six. Some of the fans perhaps thought that a new manager should have been brought in. They were unhappy with sort of the run of results. Do you want to, yeah, why were the fans like that? He's done such great things for the club at the moment. It's a bit of a strange thing to be wanting the manager gone after just a sort of a little blip at the start of the season.
Yeah, I don't understand why people would want to change a manager in this situation. I think it just reflects football culture at the moment. You listen to 606 and the you know, presenters asking, should this manager be sacked or should so-and-so be brought in or do you need to make a change here? And yeah, it's been a really poor month for Ebbsfleet up until Saturday, going six games without a win. But then they'd won 4 out of 5 before that. And I just think there's a bit of an undercurrent of people who want Darren McMahon to fail from outside the club and inside the club. Now, let's be honest about it. And you've just got to look at his stats since he took over as manager just over 3 years ago. He's taken 272 points from 144 games. That's almost 2 points a game. It's more points than any other manager in the English professional games managed during that time. They've been challenging for promotion in the league below and this league every season that he's been in charge. they will be pushing for the playoffs, if not better, this season. He's got on paper arguably the best squad in the league. Most of those are players that he's brought in. And he's faced situations like this before. You think the season after they missed out on promotion losing to Maidstone in the playoff final, they then went, I think it was 1 win in 7 games at the start of the next season, and he was really under pressure then. Probably the majority of fans wanted him out. Dr. Abdullah, the owner, stood by him, proceeded to get them promoted at the end of that season. Last season, again, after the new year, they were really a dreadful month. I mean, January into February, some poor performances, results weren't going well, fans were grumbling, and turned that around. They went 11 games unbeaten, got into the playoffs, made it to the playoff semi-finals, were 30 minutes away from knocking out Tranmere at Prenton Park, and yet 6 games without a win, people are calling for his head. It's, I just think, yeah, there's an agenda from some people that want him out. It's completely illogical, but unfortunately it's reflective of how football is these days. And look, Josh, I'm not saying that I agree with absolutely everything that he does, or that he's a perfect manager or makes all the right decisions. I'm still to be convinced that going with a back three is the right way to go this year. I think he was wrong to let Jack Connors go, the left back, who was one of their most improved players last season. Leaves him without a recognised left back if they do want to go to the back four now. I think he tinkers too much with the team. I think if you have a settled side, a settled formation, the players know exactly their jobs, they know what they're doing. It's a little bit unsettling at times. But, you know, these are all points you can sit around the table and discuss. It's quite another thing to say, he's passed it, he's had it, we need to get a new manager. You know, football league clubs were in for him in the summer. He can't be that bad, can he?
No, the stats you presented there are a pretty convincing argument to the success that he's brought at the club. And I think we've got to remember fickle football fans have a very short-term memory when it comes to these things. So, Craig, you've seen a managerial change at Maidstone this season. Some perhaps thought it was a little bit too early, but they've turned their form around. What's your view on this sort of thing of clubs getting rid of managers too early on in the season? Do you think it's a case of clubs often pulling the trigger far too soon?
Yeah, I think it is. Never a fan of managers getting sacked. I was chatting to Steve this morning, and talking about 606. I think it was a question about David Wagner at Huddersfield, who worked wonders to get them promoted in the first place, kept them up, and then they're having a bit of a tough time of it this year, and then they're saying about him, should he get the sack? Well, ridiculous, really. And yeah, I'm not a fan of managers getting the sack, and unfortunately, as Steve said, it's called for all too soon these days, which is a shame, but unfortunately it's probably not going to change anytime soon.
No, it's a bit of a disappointing situation that we find, and yeah, the managerial merry-go-round does seem to come so quickly and all too often is a bit too soon. But now let's talk about the game they've got on Saturday. It's at home to Harrogate. They've started the season very well. It's going to be a tough one, but perhaps a good test of where they are actually at this season, absolutely, and see what sort of level where they are.
Yeah, probably a truer test than dagging them away on Saturday, as much as that was a good performance, and they could have scored quite a few more goals. Dagenham looked to be struggling. The much changed squad from a year ago, and it's tough to see Peter Taylor turning that around in the situation that they're in. Harrogate, on the flip side, have been a real surprise package coming up from National League North. Up in third, only a point off the top, only lost one game so far, and they scored a lot of goals. In fact, they're just looking at the table, the top scorers in the National League so far. But again, the first goal really is everything with Ebbsfleet at the moment. I think if they get the first goal, it draws Harrogate out. I can see them going on and getting 3 or 4. If Harrogate get the first goal, particularly given Ebbsfleet's poor home form, then it could be another struggle for them. But we shall see. If they defend properly, defend like they did at Dagenham, give themselves a platform, keep a clean sheet through to half-time and hopefully get themselves in front, then there's no reason they can't get a result. And that goes for any home game, any game this season. I fancy them to play enough football. They've got goals, so many goals in the team. Keep a clean sheet and they'll win more often than not.
No, absolutely. And let's now turn our attention to Maidstone. They drew 1-1 with Chesterfield on Saturday. That man, Blair Turgot, getting another goal. Craig, yeah, he seems to be absolutely on fire this season.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Just wait till January. Yeah. That is the only trouble, isn't it, with this league? The player who Pickett did it last year, scoring plenty of goals, and obviously attracts interest, and no doubt it will do in Blair Turgot's case as well. But no, he's brilliant, scoring every game since he came back from suspension, scored in all three of them. It looked like he was going to be enough for another 1-0 win, but yeah, Chesterfield got the equaliser late in the second half. Not a pretty team to watch. As I say, they're a massive club in that league and you'd expect them to be right at the top, but they're not. And with their resources, you'd probably expect a bit more than what they offered on Saturday, really. It was just a case of lumping it forward to the big lad, Denton up top, playing off of him. Great big long throws. So, yeah, not great to watch. If it works, then fine. But, yeah, not easy on the eye. And it's such a sort of bombardment. You thought eventually it might pay off, and they did get one. But I don't think they'd really look like scoring. I think Harry Willow, he's pretty pleased with a point after that, though. The work ethic particularly, he's really chuffed with that at the minute, that the players have all bought into the demands he made when he came in. That was the first thing he stressed when he took the job. You know, the team won't be outworked by anyone, and they're sort of showing that. And as he said, you know, lost the first game, but then he brought all his players in after that, 6 signings, 7 points out of 9 since he, you know, made the changes he wanted to make. So he's more than pleased with that.
Yeah, double their points tally in the last 3 games. Is that largely due to the fact that he's brought in all these players, lots of new faces, lots of just a bit of a different perhaps feel around the dressing room? Is that made a massive difference, you think, on the pitch?
Yeah, it's definitely helped. I think he said up at Braintree last week that, you know, all due respect to the players that were there, they could have put their message across, but he felt the same thing would have carried on happening, losing games. He's been backed by the owners to make those signings, because obviously they needed to get players out, but that potentially could have been tricky if you've been left with players there who didn't want to move on or go out on loan or permanent transfers, and you're left with a big squad and a big wage bill. But, you know, they've trusted each other to on both sides to get the job done, and yeah, they've made a big difference. And he'll certainly say that himself. All those players that have come and have made an impact, and people like Simon Walton, he came in as a midfielder but has gone into a back three, and there's like an experienced head in between Finney and de Havilland, and that seems to be working really well. Yeah, just players there who've made an impact there, and particularly the left back, young left back from Blackburn, Jack Doyle, he looks a really good player. So they've got the contacts and been able to get players in, but again, you suppose you look at it and think, you know, Jay Saunders could be sitting there thinking, well, you know, if I'd had that backing to get those players in, might not have been necessarily those players, but other players, he could have made changes to the squad, he could be thinking, and the team could be better off. So you just never know, do you?
No, absolutely. And let's listen to a little bit of reaction from Harry Wheeler after that draw with Chesterfield on Saturday.
Yeah, pleased, proud of the lads. Thought they were excellent. Thought the work rate, endeavour, the organisation, they're getting it. We're nowhere near a finished article, but we're so much better. And yeah, we'd take 7 points out of 9, 3 unbeaten. We'd take snap your hand off if we'd done that when we come out. And from what we demand, you know, there'll be more as well. There's bits we can do, but I just said it shows how far we've come. The lads are sitting in there at the end like we've lost the game. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, this would have been like a win, you know, to say a draw there. So we're delighted, really pleased for them. And we just know this stuff we've got to do, but no, they're doing well. You know, it's hard to judge because someone just said to me, oh, they had no chances after the one goal, but, you know, they would have if they hadn't scored that one. They'd have been pushing themselves like we were. And we were resolute. Thought we were defended brilliantly. Thought the back three was superb again. And the whole work rate from the front to the back was excellent. If you want to be here, you're going to have to work hard. It's quite simple. It's not no rocket science. If you want to be here, you have to work hard. We demand it in training. We stop training sessions when they're not working hard, let alone games. So they know what they expected of them. And that's probably why, really. It's just standards that you set. It's a cliche, train as you play. But, you know, we have to push on every game. And every training session is competitive. It's physical. It's hard work. And, you know, it's everyone wants to win. And that's how we've got to create winners. If you don't do the basics in football, you're lost. If you don't work hard, you don't compete, and you're not organised, then you've got a problem. It's all right having a philosophy, but if you don't work hard, it's a waste of time. So we have to nail that first, and we've nailed that, and then we just have to start pushing on with the rest of it and become better and better as we go along. If I had to persuade him once, they wouldn't be here now. So I'm not here to persuade people and ask people to work hard. If they don't want to do it, then you don't have to be it. And they've all worked hard. The lads have been fantastic, and I want every single one of them here, and they need to be here because they're good characters and they're good men, and most importantly, they're good people.
Now, that's three games unbeaten now for Maidstone. Really, really great form. They go to Bromley on Saturday. They host Bromley, don't they? It's at home. They've struggled this season, perhaps a little bit of a hangover from losing in the cup final at the end of last season. I'm sure it'll be another game where they're hoping to keep this run going.
Yeah, this is a team that Maidstone have always struggled against. It's funny you get those teams, don't you? Just never seem to beat them. They did beat them in the Kent Cup last year, but I think anyone was too worried about that one. But the league meetings, Maidstone have, ever since going into the conference, they cannot beat Bromley. They've got a bit of a hold over them, it seems. So, we'll see this weekend. But as you say, Bromley aren't going great. But if that little curse continues, it won't be an easy game.
Yeah, all change at Maidstone since they last played. So yeah, I'm sure Harry Wheeler will be hoping to end that perhaps a little bit of bad run of games that they've had against Bromley. Let's turn our attention to Dover. They lost 2-0 at home to Barrow on Saturday. 10 games without a win now. Really struggling down there at the bottom of the National League. Sound like another poor performance. Really can't find the goals at the moment. They're really struggling to score. Only I think Jamie Allen is the only forward to have really scored for them this season. It's a bit of a desperate situation that just keeps on going. Can't find that win. It's tough to know where they go, particularly with the games they've got coming up. They've got some really really tough games. I think what is indicative of how badly they're playing at the moment is the attendance at the weekend, just over 800, which is a very, very poor for what Dover have had over the last sort of year or so. I know the chairman, Jim Parmenter, has said in the past he wanted attendances to pick up, and they had got their average gate to sort of over 1,000, sort of around 1,200, but that seems to have dropped now this season as the results don't seem to be going their way. And Chris Kinnear is still under pressure. It seems like only sort of another a couple of wins will get him out of it. They seem to make a step forward with getting a point at Sutton last week, but then making sort of two steps backwards with that. What do you guys think of this situation? We've seen that a new manager at Maidstone has worked. That's brought a bit of life back into the club. He's brought some players in, and that seems to have worked. Do you think a similar thing needs to happen at Dover now?
I think if you're going to make a change of manager, you need to have somebody else, and you've got to have a really clear idea that this person's going to do a better job than the manager we've got at the moment. And only Jim Parmenter will be able to answer that. I think the concern for Dover fans will be they've only won once in 14 games, and that was in the first couple of weeks of the season at home to Havant, one of the newly promoted sides. And that gap to the safety line's just getting that little bit bigger. You've got Braintree and Dover and Dagenham just above them in danger of becoming a little bit adrift. So it's they need to start winning games, you know, however that happens. And when you don't score goals or don't carry enough of a goal threat, that becomes very difficult. And just watching the highlights of the game against Barrow, arguably it could have been a bigger winning margin as well if Mitch Walker hadn't made some good saves, and not the first time we've been able to say that this season. And it's a worry for them. They're just not picking up enough points, and looking pretty difficult.
They're hard to watch as well. I saw a question that was put to him about Barrow's style. They're a good side to watch this year, Barrow. They played well down at Maidstone, and sort of the question was put to him, if Barrow can knock the ball around like that, why can't Dover? And I think he just said it was along the lines of, well, you can only play with what you've got. And does that suggest he's not happy with the players that were, you know, that came in over the summer, or his signings? But did he feel his hands were tied in terms of what was available to bring players in? Hard to know, really. But then they've been trying things as well during the season. They've brought a few lone lads in as well, haven't they? So they've been like they've got their squad from the start of the season. They haven't made any changes. They have, and they still haven't worked. So it's very, very difficult to decide there. And a few fans talking on, I think on their forum, it's quite often talked about Chris's situation there, and again, who do they go for? Jay's an obvious one that gets mentioned. He's available for a start, isn't he? And obviously got a very good record. Pennock's another one. But it doesn't seem to be anyone on there. There's no real candidate that they all fancy, is it? There's one that's... someone will say, oh yeah, get Jay in, he'd do a good job. Others will say, no, don't think he's the man. So it's not really that one that the supporters are all, yeah, let's get him in, he's the man. So we'll see. But you don't know what would sort of tip it over the edge for Jim Parmenter. If he's sticking with Chris at the minute, what will it be that finally makes him think, hang on, you know, he can't turn it around this time, we'll have to make a change? It's very difficult.
Yeah, I think he's stuck with Chris for perhaps longer than other clubs would have done with managers in this situation, only winning 1 out of 14, second from bottom in the league, and already getting a little bit adrift of some of those sides above them. I mean, the gap is quite starting to get quite big now. It's a situation that perhaps he hasn't found himself in over the last few seasons since they've come up to the National League. The lowest they finished is eighth. In that time, in the last four seasons, so it's you would perhaps back him to turn it around if he has a bit longer. But then their aim this season was playoffs and promotion, and they are a long way off that. Their squad is a long way off that at the moment. And like you say, Craig, he's brought in lots of players to try and turn things around. That hasn't worked. Lots of loan players from clubs in the league, and a striker from Burnley who's not even in the squad at the moment. So it's a difficult one to know where they go at the moment. And things, like I said, won't get any easier for them. Salford at home on Saturday, and then they follow that up with a game at Harrogate the following weekend. So two sides in the top three of the table there. It's not going to be any easier, and we can listen to a little bit of reaction from Chris Kinnear after that 2-0 defeat at home to Barrow on Saturday.
They were a bit better than us. I mean, we had a couple of chances, didn't we? 0-0 and throw-ins, corners, but again, they're a decent side. And after Tuesday, I thought, you know, we looked like we turned the corner. We played with a lot of passion and deservedly got back into the game and against a very good Sutton side. I know they won 3-0 today, so they're a good side. But today we didn't really perform as well as we were hoping. I don't mean the players were in good spirits, but they play a different way. You know, you can only play the players you've got. They've got those type of players and they'll play that way. So, you know, we play the way the players because of the players we've got. So that's something that we've got to look into. It's, you know, we've been in the game playing quite well and then they go out the other end and score. We've let too many goals in from a side that was the second best defensive record in the league. We've gone to not very good defending, really, but again, we've lost the players. So we've got to really teach these new ones how to do it. But again, it's the other side. It has a lot of say as well. But I don't think many people did themselves justice. But again, we're a team. I've not had a rant and rave with them. I'm sure everybody gave everything they could at the time. But today it wasn't good enough. As I say, I've never had any question about their desire to win. You have bad days. Today was a bad day. We've had a few too many, to be honest. So we've just got to get our heads up and get on with it, really. No good whinging. No, we just got to try and keep improving somehow.
So let's next turn our attention to Gillingham and their 2-2 draw at Shrewsbury on Saturday. They went 1-0 up in this game, but then went behind 2-1. And then Tom Eaves came off the bench and scored a vital goal right at the end there, scoring his fifth goal of the season. Still does mean no wins in eight league games. That poor run continues. They're in the bottom four down there in League One. Perhaps a game where they thought they could have got something out of it going up 1-0. I think he'd be a little bit disappointed to have thrown away that lead and then having to score a last-minute goal there. But Tom Eaves coming off the bench and scoring goals again. He's top scorer this season. He's vitally important to the team, even though he was on the bench. But still a difficult situation that they find themselves in. Haven't won since the second weekend of the season now. 8 without a win. It's going to be a bit troubling for fans, do you think?
I think it's that result on Saturday is kind of put into context by what's gone before it. if you're doing well, you're picking up points at home and you're in decent form, then to go away from home and score a late goal and get a point, you'd say, yeah, that's decent and it's something to build on. But when it's seven without a win and then it becomes eight without a win, it just kind of puts the pressure on everybody. That real sort of need to go and get a win just increases. Obviously, Tom Eaves will be pleased to have come on and made that impact and got the goal, but Steve just needs 3 points, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's it's what they need. They need a win. They need to get things rolling a bit. It was not in the last couple of weeks. He'd been sort of come out and criticising his players and saying that they need to give more. And this weekend, he was sort of a lot happier with the performance. So perhaps things are going in the right direction. He was pleased with the way they came back and were able to keep fighting in that game. Really praised the sort of spirit they had there, so perhaps things are moving in the right direction. But yeah, 3 points is what they need desperately at the moment to try and just end that run, just get some points on the board and just make everyone feel a little bit more comfortable with the situation they find themselves in. And let's hear a little bit of reaction from Steve Lovell after that 2-2 draw at the weekend.
Very pleased. I thought the boys did very well. They worked hard. We done well in the first half to go in the lead and had a couple of good opportunities as well. But, you know, Shrewsbury had a go and they threw everybody at us and we defended really well. Apart, you know, I was disappointed to concede when we did in the equaliser. And then the second goal again was a killer blow to us, really. But it shows the character that we've got here and people who want to roll their sleeves up and keep going. And Mr. Eaves come on and got our goal. And I'm pleased for him. You know, like I said, he knows what the situation is. I did it last year with him and left him out a few games and he came back and got some goals. So hopefully it'll be the same again. But I'm pleased for the boys to get their point. They deserve that point. And, you know, when you're on a bad run, it tends to go against you. And you think, again, 2-1 down, you think it's flipping heck, here it goes again. But fair play to them. They dug in and done really well. I think Brandon Hanlon as well had a really good game. He ran his socks off up there and held the ball up well for us. And then Tom come on and Tom looked sharp, looked really good when he come on. So, yeah, you know, I'm glad he's got his goal. And as I said, it's a point. It's a really well-earned point, and that could be important. So it takes us now with a bit of heart going into next week at Portsmouth where, you know, it's going to be a tough game. But, you know, I thought Alex Lacey did a good job in that defensive role in midfield and allowed the two boys to get on. But it was good. You know, I'm pleased. I'm pleased with the point and disappointed to concede, as I say, the first goal, really. I think we could have held out for another 10 minutes. We would have won the game. But credit to the boys. And, yeah, good. Good point.
Now, on Saturday, they face Portsmouth, really flying at the top of the table. It's going to be a really tough game, away from home as well. Really, really difficult one there. It's with a game like that, do you think that it's one they go into with almost no expectations? If they get anything out of the game, it'll be a bonus because Portsmouth are doing so well, they're almost not expected to win. So is the pressure kind of off with this one?
Kind of is a free swing, isn't it, in some ways, but probably can't admit that because they'd be thinking that, you know, they're good enough to go and take anybody on in the league. That's certainly the attitude that they had at the start of the season. But yeah, Portsmouth are on the way back by the looks of it, aren't they, finally? Yeah. After all those financial troubles and relegations, they seem to have got themselves sorted out. Yeah, that'll be difficult, and the Pompey fans, they're always loud, aren't they? And it's
an intimidating place to go for Ampark,
close to the pitch and the stands and everything else. Yeah, like you say, they need a result. But I just wonder if this pitch business puts a bit more pressure on it as well, to be paying out, is it the best part of £500,000 to relay the pitch. They've decided that's a, you know, a big problem at home. You know, they're making the change. It's not been a great pitch for a long time, but this is the year they've decided to change it. Then, does that potentially put more pressure on Steve Lovell there? If so, you know, we've dug the pitch up and you're still not playing very well on it, you know, now what? But, you know, hopefully for Jules it will turn, it will prove the right call and help them to start playing the football that they want to play at home. But now that away game at Pompey, that'll be very, very difficult.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting time as well to relay your pitch. Most clubs tend to do it during the summer when there's no football on, but obviously you've seen that they need to do something immediately with it. So it's going on at the moment. Yeah, very expensive outlay for the club there. And let's turn our attention now to some National League South action. Dartford, they 2-1 at home to Western Supermare. Western are really struggling this season. They haven't won at all this year. Important win for Dartford. They're sort of mid-table area now. They've I think they're three games unbeaten now, so things starting to pick up a little bit now.
Yeah, it was again a win that they needed. Matt was there covering the game for us and said that Dartford certainly weren't at their best. I think Western probably went away feeling a little bit aggrieved not to have taken something from the game. Defended a set piece poorly, stepped up, tried to play offside, and Dartford punished them with what was quite a simple goal in the end. Yeah, four matches unbeaten now, including the win in the FA Cup, a couple of late goals in the league to earn themselves draws, coming from behind against Billericay, saving themselves embarrassment in the FA Cup where they almost went out to Uckfield and came through to win 3-1, and then Saturday, having not played at their best and won, they're just, you know, little steps in the right direction. And the managers Coyle and Flanagan continue to tweak the squad, bringing in a couple of players that Maidstone have made available on loan, Winter and Coker, so they're not afraid to continue to make those changes to get the right blend and the right side out on the pitch. So, yeah, more positive certainly than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago for Dartford.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned it briefly there. It's FA Cup weekend this weekend, third qualifying round. Dartford have got a trip to Oxford City, who are a fellow National League South side. Big game for Dartford, potentially get through to the next round where they could play a National League club. A lot of prize money on offer, £15,000 for the winners in this round. A big weekend for the club.
Definitely. I don't think you ever really want to draw a team from your league. That's the one thing managers always say. And, you know, if you're at home, OK, then that's not too bad. But they've got to go away to Oxford City, so it's not the most attractive draw. It is a winnable tie. Both sides will think that. Dartford on 15 points, Oxford on 11, so it's going to be a tight game, isn't it? You know, one goal in it either way, you would think, or even maybe going to the replay. But yeah, bigger money on offer in the FA Cup this year, so there's a reward there if they can get through. And obviously they'd be one win away from the first round as well. Had a decent run last year, got through to play Swindon, a game that was moved to the Sunday for TV, so it can open up for you, the FA Cup, and they'll just need to, similar to the last couple of games, just find a way to win.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely see that as a winnable game. Like you said, Oxford have had sort of a bit of an indifferent start. They find themselves sort of towards the bottom half of the table there. And then just moving on to the rest of the FA Cup third qualifying round games. Ramsgate, Bostic South East side, they have got a trip to Hemel Hempstead, who are in the National League South. I believe you've spoken to the manager this morning of Ramsgate. They must be really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it was good catching up with Lloyd Blackman. First thing to say is that they've got another league game to fit in before the weekend. They're playing Whiteleaf on Tuesday night. Ramsgate actually requested if that game could be moved so that it would give them a free week to prepare for the FA Cup tie, which is one of the biggest games in their recent history, really. And the league said, no, you've got to play it. So they'll only probably have Thursday night, I would think, together with the players to prepare for that game against Hemel Hempstead. But yeah, Blackman wasn't going to make a big fuss about that. They've got their answer. No, you can't move it, and we'll have to get on with it. And they went away from home in each of the last two rounds, one at Sevenoaks after a replay, and then away to Gosport in a higher league. Hemel Hempstead are two divisions above them, so it's a tougher assignment this time around, but they've got nothing to lose. They will go full of confidence, I think, and they've only ever reached the fourth qualifying round once in their history before, so a chance to kind of write a little bit of history for the club, the lowest ranked Kent team left in the cup. So yeah, wish them well, would love to see them get through and mix it with one of the big boys in the fourth qualifying.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there's absolutely no pressure on Ramsgate for this one. They can go there and just really have a good go at it, really put them under pressure. Everyone will be expecting Hemel Hempstead to win. They are the side two leagues above. It's one of those classic cup ties that we will hopefully Ramsgate will come through. And then perhaps a big draw at a National League club, or if they get someone who's sort of a little bit lower down, they can maybe have a crack at getting into the first round proper. And that's prize money to teams of that level. Is that going to be absolutely huge? So the winners £15,000, and then I think that nearly doubles for the next round.
Opportunity for them. And the other thing Lloyd Blackman said was he'll tell the players as they go out, play the game, don't play the occasion, don't get overwhelmed by the situation you're in or the fact you're playing a higher ranked team or what's in, at stake in terms of the money and the potential in the next round. It's 11v11, go out and play that game. And I think they maybe fell into that trap a little bit this time last year, and they got drawn against Chelmsford, who play at the same level as Hemel, went up there, got stuffed 7-0, and it really affected their, certainly the next month or so of their season. They struggled to recover from that and probably went there, were a little bit overawed and completely folded on the day. So look, if you lose, you know, don't go under like that and keep yourself in the game, whether you're a goal down at half time or you can keep it a 0-0, you give yourself a chance. And they've got some good young players there who can score the goals, so if they can keep out Hemel, who are having a, you know, pretty average start to the season in National League South, then there's no reason Ramsgate can't be one of the stories of this season's FA Cup.
Yeah, I think it'll be that sort of game that Hemel Hempstead are probably going to be a bit nervous about.
You can only lose, can't you?
You're expected to win.
Exactly. Yeah. Ramsgate can only gain. You know, if they lose, well, it's no surprise. You'd expect Hemel to get through. Hemel will be wary of the upset being at home and against a side they probably don't know very much about. And hopefully Ramsgate can spring an upset.
No, absolutely. And then Welling travel to Hereford, to a National League North side. They're coming off the back of a 2-0 victory at Bath City there. So, and they've started the season very well in National League South. So they'll be hoping to get through to the next round, to that fourth qualifying round. So one last thing before we finish this week is to go through the Kent Online Team of the Week. And let's start off with the goalkeeper, Mitch Walker from Dover, even though they lost 2-0. Like you said earlier, Steve, he made a number of saves to really stop it from being a lot higher score. He's sort of been a constant for them over the last few seasons and has been sort of one of their outstanding performers in the seasons where they've been pushing for the playoffs. But their defensive record this season has been quite poor, but he's still been one of those standout players. Then that's in defence we have Fraser Walker from Seven Oaks Town, Lex Allen from Sittingbourne, Will de Havilland from Maidstone. Do you have a good game at the weekend, Craig?
Yeah, it was more as well for his playing well, but he had a bang on the head, clash of heads in the first half. He was off the pitch for nearly 10 minutes getting it stitched up and bandaged up. Deciding not to make the substitution, give him time to sort of get him right. And he's been a bit of a constant for de Havilland since he's been at Maidstone. He got knocked out cold in his loan spell last year, and more often than not he seems to go down with a bang on the head most weeks. But again, he's old school centre half, you know, a real warrior, brave as a lion, and it just doesn't affect him, you know, when he came winning everything again. And he was put him forward, and he got in there, very much deserves his place.
That does really endear yourself to the fans as well, coming
massively
out with a Terry Butcher style headband.
Just a shame you can't wear the shirt with the blood on it anymore, can you? Have to get rid of it.
No, absolutely. And then making up the defence is George Crimmon from Ramsgate. And then midfield three of Lee Noble from Dartford, Jack Mahoney of Chatham, and Timmy Babington from Sheppey United. And then up front we have Ebsleet's Rhys Alassani, as we mentioned earlier, Tom East from Gillingham, who came off the bench to score that equaliser, and then Lucian Scarlett from Bearsted, manager of the week Mickey Collins from Seven Oaks Town. There's still no place for Paul Vines despite his scoring again at the weekend and t-shirt, but one day I'm sure he will make it into the team of the week. So thanks very much to everyone who's listened to this week's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Audio Boom and iTunes.